This is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news, intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversation. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
The aftermath of every social revolution brings about change. Cultural norms and landmarks shift as our minds and hearts expand beyond the familiar. To everything, there is a season and a time to every purpose in the land of the living. This is our time to renew, revive, and restore the hope lost to the busyness of life. This is our time to dig again and rebuild from the storms of our past on a solid footing that holds. Welcome to The Foundation.
The Foundation.
Baby, when I met you, there was peace unknown. I set out to get you with a fine-tooth comb. I was soft inside. There was something going.
Gentlemen, I was like, what are you playing? Is that Dolly Parton? What are you doing? Right? He said, hey, Howard, listen, man, the Bahamas is a good place to come. Ladies and gentlemen, 96.9 FM radio, Howard Grant in your company. My jaws are sore right now. My producer got me laughing in here. You start the show with Dolly Parton, sir? You are wilding out. This is a lot. But just to be able to reassure all those particular persons who are out here trying to make a determination as to whether or not this space is a good space to come in, as it relates to being able to travel and bring your family, so forth and so on, I say to you, we're safe. Talk to me. We'll have a very clear conversation for all external visitors coming in. We're safe. As it relates to those persons who live internally, we continue to be able to have that kind of discussion. We're here live and in full effect, being able to have this kind of a conversation with you. I am so happy as I look across into the chair where someone's supposed to sit. Talk to me. It continues to swivel on its own. My God, swiveling. Is that Casper? There's no one there. It's too much. We got to talk about it. Where is the guest? Guys, we made a commitment last week to be able to hear from the office of the Prime Minister and the person of the Trey Ramming. And I didn't get a call. I didn't get a text. I didn't get a confirmation. I reached out. I'm not going to fight him. We can continue to be able to do these things. So the line's going to be wide open today to kind of dive into the depth of this conversation with you and I as we continue to talk about national growth and development to find out exactly where we are. I want to thank all those persons that continue to be able to sponsor the show. They are none other than Commonwealth Bank, Bonneville Bones, Burger King, John's Department Shoes, Atos Holdings, Alive, and Fidelity Bank. I want to thank all those persons that committed and remain committed to being able to assist us in this space, bring those advertising dollars to us so we can be able to carry your message to the mass public. We're grateful for that and grateful for the opportunity for you choosing us here at the Foundation. Thank you. Guys, if you want to be a part of that and kind of get that stuff out there, give me a call, 827-0111. That's 827-0111. Got to give a shout out to my good, decent people over at AFS Insurance Agents and Brokers. They're located number 407 South Blue Hill Road, right there east of the Golden Gate Shopping Center, being able to do a great deal of things. And I'm grateful to be in your company today, ladies and gentlemen. I thank you so very kindly for the opportunity to be able to do that. And make sure you pick up your Guardian newspaper. This morning in the Guardian newspaper, you can be able to see the death penalty still an option. Dame Anita says that it ought to be imposed in appropriate cases. Guys, it was a lengthy letter to the editor, and I did my best to kind of read through it. I just got it, picked up the information, and as I read through it, perused through it, picked up the gems from it, we're going to talk about it today. So the line's going to be wide open if you want to be able to participate on these particular things, but we're still talking from one space to another, talking about this reformation that needs to happen in our country. Now, one of the things that actually popped out to me in this letter, and guys, you got to pick up the paper. There's no two ways about that. It is about two pages, right? So it spills from the letter to the editor, and it spills onto the other page where you can be able to grab the depth and being able to do this. And wasn't just being able to give you the background. It gave you contrast. It gave you a background. It gave you a ruling, both the concept for this particular constitutional position from the United States of America and also over in London, right? And then it went into this concept and idea of being able to break it down as she sees it. And then she says she wants to be able to impose a few things, which I thought it was good. She said, I suggest that increasing the number of public defendants and the panel of jurors, improving the process of summoning, selecting jurors, providing protection for jurors, increasing the capacity of the police forensic lab, fewer pretrial adjournments, better time management for trials, weeding out the backlog of the system, and a stricter compliance for the law and the rules of law or the procedure by all actors in the justice system are some ways for the trial cases in a reasonable time that might be achieved. Additionally, I propose that two suggestions. The first, with which we advocate by Sir Burton Hall some years ago, is to provide in legislation the option of trial by judge alone. Trial by judge alone. Right? Which I think is a great option also. Trial by judge alone to persons charged with offenses such as murder and manslaughter. But does judges want that? I suppose that this is the job. But do you want the weight of being able to identify, let's say forensics labs come up after 10 years to identify that this person who has been murdered as a result of being able to identify and make modifications to the Penal Code 291A and being able to identify persons to try them under that. And then you have tried by judge alone. So it's only you and the magistrate in there. And the magistrate decide to be able to put you to death as a result of, you know, this heinous crime that happened and the allegations levied against you. Now you're screaming in court, but judge, I didn't do it. Judge, I didn't do it. Judge, I didn't do it. Boom. You're executed, you're hung. And evidence comes up 6 years later to indicate that you were really free. Let's say they find DNA samples or whatnot with the progression of the labs or whatnot. Is that something that you want to be able to put the weight of that on your shoulder? You wouldn't want to be able to share that weight with juries of his peers. That's peculiar to me. Not peculiar that the suggestion was made, but it's peculiar that you're willing to take the weight of it, the weight of being able to put someone under, you know, to hang him high, for want of a better word and a phrase, as it relates to these particular things. But these are great suggestions. I might as well talk to you about it. I want to continue to be able to talk about crime, talk about where we are as it relates to growth and development in our community, talk about how do we find ourselves out of this. I want to be able to, and this is the one thing, this is the one positive I think that we can take from what's been happening from the inception as we stepped over the threshold from 2023 into 2024. The one positive thing is that we've seen so many persons contribute in their own special ways to this sort of an idea of alleviating the burden and the fear of crime. We can't make moves. We can't do anything. She started the letter off like that. She started it off like that, right? Guys, you got to read this. You got to read this, right? Take your time and be able to ingest the information. She said, sadly,
In the last few weeks, New Providence has become the scene of senseless violence. And more disturbingly, the violence has touched women, children, and caught up in the culture of violence and the crossfires. Those of us who thankfully until now are untouched by the violence are nevertheless afraid to leave our homes. But even more daunting, we are afraid to stay in our homes. I thought that was absolutely bananas and profound. That, you know, that kind of a concept that says, if I go, I die. If I stay, I die. Right? My grandmother and I had that conversation when I was moving to Nassau. Did I tell you about this before? This is one of those things that actually sticks out in my mind. But as men, as adults, those of us who matriculate into the space of maturity socially and consciously have a desire to be able to contribute towards progression, growth, development, and forward movement of our society, there comes a time for you to make a decision. How will you participate with sort of the skill set that you have? And so my grandmother, she said, baby, you can move into Nassau. Baby, don't move to Nassau. So she says to me, I can give you the house. I mean, it has like a 6-bedroom house, 2 stories, so forth and so on. Everyone moved out. My grandfather died, so it was only her. And I moved my family in after my grandfather died. And, you know, it just, Grand Bahama was at a standstill as it relates to productivity for a young man in his 20s. Can I say this? I want to be as decent as possible. For a young man in his late 20s, early 30s, I had a responsibility with, you know, a young family to produce, to provide, to be able to take care of them. And I felt confined, stuck in 8 Mile Rock. As much as I loved the place, I knew that I had something beaming in me that I wanted to kind of get out to contribute to something greater. And so, but she didn't want me to go because, you know, leaving would actually make it very clear indication that everyone has their own spaces now. I'm going to be left alone. The first time she would have been left alone in forever, in all of her entire life. She's always had someone with her. And so now that everyone's gone, that could be very heavy on your mind. And so as we sit now late in the night watching Channel 40, you know, because she's sitting on, oh, my God, I remember this one. He was dragging slippers when I met him, you know. My God, he did well for himself. He died now. My God. This is how we're talking, right? And she says to me, baby, I said, Grandma, I'm going to be moving to Nassau. So she says, baby, I don't think you should move to Nassau. I said, I understand that. She said, baby, I don't want you to go. Why don't you stay with me? I said, I mean, I'd love to do that. She said, baby, I'm afraid that if you go, I will die. That's me and her having this kind of a conversation, all right? And I looked at her, and I said, Grammy, you know, it's an amazing thing that you are. She was in her 80s at this time, right, mid-80s or so. I said, Grammy, you did wonderful for your children. You had 6 children. You send them to school. You paid for them, you housed them, you helped them build their own homes, you helped them with marriage, you did all these particular things for your 6 children. I said, I am afraid that if I leave, you will die. And I love you very much. I said, but I'm more afraid that if I stay, I will die. And I don't necessarily mean physical death. I mean the death of the potential that exists for contribution socially. The death and idea that I've been called for a purpose to be able to align myself with greater and to be able to contribute to greater. You've had your opportunity. This is the kind of conversation she and I had. You've had your opportunity to do well. And I love you for being able to show me the sort of the blueprint for what needs to be done. But the truth is if I don't get up and contribute, I'll die. I'd be around here sucking down button and an aristocrat like everybody else. I can't do that. I can't allow what I know, and I'm convicted of the call that's on my life to go to naught. So we cried, and I left. I think this is the juncture that we've come at as a community. There is this expectation from former leaders in the country, and next week, Monday, we're going to have former Prime Minister Dr. Hubert Minnis sit with us, right? I'm very excited about that. We're going to have a good conversation next week, Monday. He's going to be sitting with us. We're going to be talking about his book. I just purchased a book from him. And the book's called, if you look it online, guardianradio.com, you're going to be able to see that. Hubert A. Minnis, The Power of Determination, Persisting in the Midst of Adversity. This is the book. Nice book. It's $25. You can be able to pick it up and see exactly what the author's memoir. All this information's in there. You can be able to see exactly what next week, Monday, we're going to be able to talk about it. So after I kind of, you know, dive through it and chop it down, he and I are going to have a very good conversation about it. I know you want to get mad political, but that's not my objective, right? So in the midst of it all, I call his name because he was the first prime minister after COVID-19, or in the midst of COVID-19, with all the lockdowns that were happening, everything that was happening around us, the fact that we have, found ourselves locked in our homes, right? To the point where we felt like hermits. We were non-productive. Many of us gained weight, right? Just snacking. We don't have our own gardens in the back. There wasn't any productivity, so forth and so on. And in the midst of everything, the prime minister in his particular capacity came to the country and said, we're seeking to get back to normalcy. And I thought that I was baffled by the concept and idea of normalcy. What is normalcy? What is, after Hiroshima, how can we have a conversation about normalcy? How? After Hurricane Andrew, how can we have a conversation about normalcy? How? After these great calamity and devastation, with the oil spill in the Gulf, with what's happening in what was the next thing? Hurricane Katrina. After the earthquakes, how can we ever have a conversation about getting back to normalcy? And I think that that's what we're grappling with in this country. This idea of trying to retain a traditional old style and old approach, a former approach to how we conducted ourselves as a community. We're seeking relentlessly that space we can be able to kind of exhale and say, I remember this space. But that's absolutely impossible. That's absolutely impossible for us ever to get back to normalcy. We have reached the three-pronged fork in the road. It's three prongs. Actually, we must take out that middle prong. Because the middle prong is a representation of the normalcy that we're talking about. We can no longer travel along this road and expect things to be the same. We've reached critical mass. We've reached a point in our society of no return. We have almost everyone contributing to the concept of reform in our society to be able to get to a better space. Everyone. Dame Anita being able to take on this sort of position and giving you legalese, the language associated, the mindset, giving you sort of a peek behind the veil of what's happening within this particular realm and making us to understand that we can no longer just go about these particular things as is. Whilst we have a responsibility to our constitutional rights and being able to ensure that those things are upheld. She starts to speak in this, and you guys got to read it like I said to you. She starts to speak in it about the fact that judges have the responsibility to be able to deduce, once the information is placed before them, whether or not this person is even eligible, prior to even eligible for bail. And so it only goes back to my question. Why are we still in this position of being able to give the social perception of stripping the autonomy that exists within the judicial? And that's all this is. And I think this is where the public debate is. This is where the public debate is. Our Constitution is strong enough, and the arms and the divisions that exist within government and the judicial is strong enough to identify these things. But one of the major issues we're having is from a constitutional standpoint, you must put these people between the time of infraction, of holding them, going before a court, and bringing a verdict within 3 years. And if you're unable to do that, then it's unconstitutional to hold them. It's just unconstitutional. And I don't care about the tribulation and the weight that we feel by the increase of fear and crime. Are we above that? As the eyes of the world continue to look on us with the expectation for us to be able to apply ourselves, not as a third world country, but the progressive growth that we stand for and to move with in this country towards first world status. Is there an expectation based upon our proximity, based upon our relationship, based upon our education, our wherewithal, for us to be savages? And if we want to put this in proper context, like I said, there are 200, just for number, the purposes of numbers, for the sake of numbers, there, let's say there are 280,000 people living in Nassau. There's less than 5,000 people wreaking havoc on this community. Less than five. If I want to be very specific, it's about 3,000. And we cower and shake in our boots because of the fear of a gun and what the possibility of a gun can do. Simultaneously charging our environment and yielding our personal autonomy to criminals as they wield this gun, unable to bend their fists in a fist fight. Two slaps and their jaw break. Not in a bad way. We just talking. Let's talk. They've never been in no fight. Their strength exists within the confines of a weapon. And this has become the coming of age story for the young Bahamian man. And it's absolutely unfortunate. So this idea of being able to get back to a space of normalcy is bananas to me. We're going to have to deal with this head on. And this kind of a flippant approach to let's quickly be able to suffice, satisfy the crowd by being able to throw them proverbial meat is insufficient. It's not efficient. It doesn't suffice. Is there a quiet expectation that as a result of the Bail Act, that there will be social satisfaction? I doubt that. I doubt that. I don't think that we should condemn the government for being able to take this action that they've taken. They must be encouraged. But they also need to be reminded that there is much more. And that's where we are. So I'd like to be able to continue that kind of a conversation with you guys today and talk about where we are as it relates to workable solutions to the rising crime concerns that we have in our community. The line is going to be wide open, guys. 323-6232, 325-4316, 325-4259, anywhere for the family violence, 242-300, 5720. Hit me up, 422-4796. Let me take this quick commercial break, ladies and gentlemen, and be right back after this.
Established in 1970, is the leader in men's fashion in the Bahamas. We're conveniently located in the Mall at Marathon and the Harbor Bay Shopping Plaza, and fully stocked with everything you need for all occasions. Our Harbor Bay location is one door north of Alive, with the black and white signage of Bonneville Boutique. Both locations are open from 10 to 7 p.m. Monday through Saturday. Bonneville Bones and Bonneville Boutique, still the leader in men's fashion. Located in the Mall at Marathon and the Harbor Bay Shopping Plaza.
Tired of banks forcing you to use technology to bank the way they want you to? Your convenience is important. So no matter what your banking needs, Commonwealth Bank's friendly staff are always available in branch for that personal one-on-one service. But when you choose technology, our online and mobile banking app offers you state-of-the-art functionality. The choice is yours. Commonwealth Bank. Bank the way you want.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
You could be my luck. Even if the sky is falling down, I know that we'll be safe and sound. We're safe and sound.
And we are back, ladies and gentlemen, 96.9 FM Radio, Howard Grant in your company, The Foundation. Right here, I'm reading a text, and this is Howard. If you feel you have been called for social commentary, they don't want me to be able to talk about these particular things. They say, this is only for you. I got to be able to do away with some of these things. I don't know who, you know what? You know what I've recognized? In the space of decency, I want to do this. We have to yield to evolution. We have to give way to change. There is no way, there is absolutely no way, based upon your comfort and the rhythm, the frequency that you've dialed in and took the knob off, at that space and place of the seasons of a man's life, your life, the seasons of a man's life, you've come to maturity at a particular time and era. Right? As a result of this particular era, now, you know, when I started this talk show thing, people say, Howard, you ain't serious enough. I thought it was peculiar. Well, what do you mean? I'm here. Yeah, but you have to be able to be stoic. I don't understand that. Why do you think I should do that? Yeah, because all the talk show hosts have to be stoic. So, like, they have to be serious about this particular thing. I couldn't understand that. But no one gives way or yields to an evolving concept. No one. It's just crazy that you're cemented and solidify yourself. You're glued in to that era where you identify maturity. And I think it does a disservice to those coming up after you. It does a disservice because we still don't watch movies in black and white. Someone talk to me. I can't get an amen. Our movies are no longer in black and white. No longer. Our movies are no longer in fuzz. The only fuzz you continue to see on the television is from the top of the hill. My God, everybody else is 4K. So as the world evolves around you, you cannot reject something new, something different. And you cannot put to question someone's conviction based upon unfamiliarity. Talk to me, someone talk to me. Let's be able to be as decent as possible as we talk like this. So today, I want to be able to talk to you about crime, its evolving nature in our community, and the fact that we continue to be able to be stagnant because of this exact same comment. The comment that I must be able to go back to yesteryear and do it like how the olds, do it like how the other fellas did it. That's bananas to me. That is wild. I give you a little taste of who I am to bring life to this space. This is a little taste of my personality to bring life to this space. And I'm hoping that I engage you, that I give you just a spoonful of sugar, like what Mary Poppins say, just a spoonful of sugar to be able to, when the medicine hits you, the conviction and strength of the position for us to be able to change, it could go down easier. And maybe, just
maybe it can open your minds and be able to alleviate the burden of your pessimism. Because I think that's where a lot of us are. I'm not going to fight you. I really hope that you don't fight me. But understand my heart in this space. For the past 3 weeks, we've been having a very clear conversation about crime. You've done our best to be able to identify those participants, to talk about it from right where they are. We had a very good conversation with none other than Scrooge, Valentina Brown in his particular capacity. We had Kendra Bowe. She was sitting with us. And we had great conversations. And also DJ Consular. And that social participation, what I seek to do, and over the course of the next few weeks, I'm hoping to be able to get even younger persons in there to be able to find out their posture and position as to why, what we need to do to be able to change, even acknowledge what's happening in our society. I want to be able to say those things. And as we talk, I'm hoping that you'll be able to give us an opportunity to be able to hear your heart. Because as we know, whether it's the office of the Prime Minister, whether it's members of Parliament, whether it's private leadership in this country, they are listening into talk shows. And listening in, not just for the entertainment aspect, but listening in to hear the voice of the people, the hearts of the people. So I want to encourage you to be able to call in and talk with me today and see exactly where we are. Give me a call, 323-6232, 325-4316, 325-4259, anywhere from the family of islands, 242-300-5720, 242-300-5720, or hit me up, 422-4796. That's on the text. And we're going to have a great conversation today, talk about these things. We're still talking about workable solutions to rising crime concerns here in the country. You're going to be able to do those things. I got a text. I want to be able to read that and see exactly what's what. It says, good morning, Howard. Regarding national growth and development, did you know that the clinic in Hawkesville Grand Bahama, would not allow patients to enter until 8 a.m. in the morning, even though the staff and the security are already inside? And you know it was cold on Grand Bahama yesterday. The staff said that it was protocol. Even if it was raining and they said that they couldn't allow you to enter. I wonder if the Minister of Grand Bahama and the MP for the constituency, by extension, the Ministry of Health, knows about this. This isn't anything new. This is something that has been going on for a very long time. Now, I don't know where the posture and position has come from and why they've done that. I have some ideas. In 2006, for the very first time, and I'm going to use Hawkesville Clinic more specifically, in 2006, my wife was pregnant. It was 2005, right? She got pregnant in 2005, our very first baby. I was extremely excited. I was working at the Grand Lucayan Hotel, the Our Lucayan Hotel at the time, managing in the weddings department. And, I wanted to be able to give her the best health care that we can possibly give her, right? I always thought private was mad expensive and unable to do it. And so we got some, good conversations with, friends and other persons who had kids. And they said that the Hawkesville Clinic would be excellent. And I think it was Wednesday. Wednesday was maternity day, whatever, right? And so you can be able to go down there and get checked. Right. And so we knew someone. We called them. We said, we're coming on Wednesday. They say, OK, no problem. We got there as early as we possibly could. Right. Which was about 8:30. When we got there, 475,000 people was wrapped around the building. All of a foreign. Oh, my God. I can't even get deep in this. All of a foreign language. Yeah, I have to say language. Right. Because this was no longer. This was unfamiliar territory to me, and I couldn't understand this. And so we decided to walk inside. And when we walked inside, the other half of the 475,000 was actually piled up on the inside, right? So I only say this for you, right? And as I stood in there, I sat down and I looked around, and we waited for about 35, 45 minutes, and I stood up. I said, baby doll, let's go. She said, what happened? I said, I don't think we're going to be here. And from that day to this, I've only used the private doctors. Now, it may cost you something. Make sure you get your insurance to be able to do those things. But if you are going to a public clinic in these particular spaces, there's no segregation in this space. There's only the expectation that you adhere to the rules and regulations to ensure that there is law and order in these spaces. You got to go there early. You got to get your number, whether that's for dental, whatever that is, and you have to ensure that you can be able to get those things taken care of. Now, I know that the Ministry of Health is well aware of exactly what's happening. And it is my hope and expectation that they can be able to alleviate this. Because like you said, a lot of people are on the outside. They're outside here and they're getting oily, they're getting wet up and so forth and so on. It is time for us to be able to rectify these things and treat our people with a sense of decency. I think we have been getting the very low end of service in our country from our brothers and sisters, from our government. And it's time for them to be able to recognize the value that exists in this country is not the sun, sand, and sea alone, but it's most definitely the people. So they must take consideration into this particular space and give us opportunity to be able to get those things done, right? Guys, that's going to be able to be what we're talking about today. I'm grateful for the opportunity to be able to do this. I want to be able to dive deeper with you when we get back from the commercial break to talk about these things, because even more stuff is popping up. We're seeing this sort of a pushback. Someone texted last week and said that we see that this administration is leading by talk show. Now, they wasn't talking to about my talk show more specifically, but they was actually indicating that what becomes the topic, the subject matter within the realm of the talk show world, far and wide within the country, we see this administration actually jumping on that very quickly. In the Tribune today, you can be able to see something, and then we can take this commercial break. Prime Minister, another nation will step up on Haiti. Bananas. You tell me, don't say banana. Bananas. Crazy. Another nation will step up on Haiti. Prime Minister Philip Brave Davis expects another country to step up on the lead and lead a mission to stabilize Haiti if Kenya's court prevents the country from playing the role, noting that CARICOM countries lack the capacity and the wherewithal to lead the mission. His comments came after a Kenya court blocked the country from deploying police officers to Haiti. Kenya's government said it would appeal the matter. In the meantime, Minister Davis said that efforts are still being made to assist as we can through the Emit Persons Group. My God. And they are very close. This information that's coming in, let's talk about these particular things. If Kenya could take a position and being able to look at what's important for their country, should we do the same? Quick commercial break, guys. Get to news and be right back after this.
There's too many of you crying. Brother, 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 there's far too many of you dying. You know we've got to find a way to bring some loving here today. Yeah. Father, Father, we don't need escalate. You see, war is not the answer, for only love can conquer hate. You know we've got to find a way to bring some love and get here today. Oh, picket lines and picket signs, don't punish me with brutality. Talk to me so you can see. Oh, what's going on? What's going on? Yeah, what's going on? Oh, what's going on? Right on.
It's Whopper Wednesday every Wednesday at Burger King Nassau. Make your Wednesday sizzle and sink your teeth into a flame-grilled beef patty topped with tomatoes, fresh-cut lettuce, mayo, pickles, ketchup, and sliced onions, all on a toasted sesame seed bun with fries for only $5.95, including VAT. This Whopper Wednesday, grab a friend and head down to your favorite BK Nassau location for a flame-grilled Whopper made your way with crisp fries for only $5.95. Burger King Nassau, where taste is king.
John Shoes and Accessories is your one-stop shop for all your footwear needs. You will find what you're looking for among the growing collection of classic and trendy styles with new arrivals every week. John's covers the whole family and has great prices, helpful and friendly customer service. Your experience shopping with us will be time well spent. Shop with us online at www.johnshoes.com. John's also now carries small home appliances. So come on into John's, located on Rosetta Street in Palmdale and Carmichael Road West. John's, we put fashion at your feet.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.
Well, this one dedicated to all youth and youth in the ghetto, man. Can you see the fussing and fighting, youth? Don't bother with it, man, because them things are not going to work, see? So listen me now. Land of mercy. Me ball. Put on the gun, put on the knife, youth, and make we unite. Put on the gun, put on the knife, youth, and make we unite. Follow me. Put on the gun, put on the knife, youth, and make we unite. Put on the gun, put on the knife, youth, and make we unite. Some of them brown, some of them black, and some of them looking so white. Youth man, put on the gun, me a big no. Put on the knife. We can't take it fussing now, we can't take the fight. Youth man, get together now and make we unite. And what about youth man out there, your work and a sight. And them not get no money if we go shopping tonight. Every day them get up and them a fuss and them a fight. You man, put down the gun, put down the knife, youth man, make we unite. Put down the gun, put down the knife, youth man, make we unite. Follow me. Put down the gun, put down the knife, youth man, make we unite. Put down the gun, put down.
And we are back, ladies and gentlemen, 96.9 FM radio. Howard Grant in your company, the foundation. On this absolutely gorgeous Tuesday afternoon, live and in full effect, January 30th, we are a day away from the 365 days, that is January. Someone talk to me. I think that the zebra eating for all those government workers has come to an absolute halt, as they would have gotten paid, I think, yesterday. And now we are back to noodles again. I only make joke with you. I only make joke about those particular things. And I can do that. My wife has worked for the government sector for almost well over two decades now. And so I know about the rhythm that exists in these particular spaces. Don't fight me. I make joke about these particular things. But I know exactly how it is. So I think you guys are in this space. We're getting out of January. We're getting into February. And as we get into the month of love, the month of, I think it's Black History, you know, what's the local things that we do in the month of February, right? Whatever we're doing in that particular space, as we're getting ready to do these things, a lot of persons have kind of recommitted to do some stuff for business. You've already gone through the month of January. You sort of made this determination. You've looked for your journey book. You have started to kind of write some things down about taking these steps. I think a great deal of us have been deterred by crime. And there's sort of an idea, I have not, I don't know about the space where you live, I have not seen a great deal of persons kind of getting out there and hitting the streets and doing their walking and so forth and so on. I don't know if that is as a result of the increase in crime in our communities, the fear of crime in our communities. But I could tell you within the confines of my home, within the space of my home, there has been sort of a conversation that continues to be able to, the murmurs of a conversation about, I don't know if you should go, as it relates to being able to contribute and lead out after sunset or after, you know, after dusk in that space. So I say these things, I don't know where we is. I don't know where we are as a community, but wherever we are, is it time for us to reset?
And what does that reset look like? Is it time for us to be able to reset? What does it even mean when I say to you, or lend this sort of this concept about the consideration of a reset? What does it mean to you? Is that this sort of an idea that says, maybe this is a political reset. Maybe this is a spiritual reset. Maybe this is a reset within the confines of our home. Maybe this is financially being able to look at some other things and make determinations about the steps that we take. Is it time for us as a society to reset? I think we've come to that point now that we have to make a determination to move forward. Despite trials and tribulation that continue to be able to fall down like toppling buildings around us. And it seems as though that it's getting closer as we run and run and run towards the shores for growth and development. As we continue to be able to march forward towards that, it seems like everything is falling down around us. Is it time for a reset? Without getting heavy and deep into these conversations, I'd like to ask you that. We've been talking about crime. We've been talking about all these things. And it seems to me that there is a very casual approach to the increase or the index of fear of violence, the fear of crime in our society. There's a casual approach from our governmental standpoint. I know that we get the five pillars. I know that we've seen these particular things. I know many of us have taken on this sort of a concept and posture to say that, well, at least the government trying something. I don't know whether or not you're saying that from your position in terms of contribution and your participation within a political organization, or if you've seen something that we haven't seen. I don't know. But I say these things to say that as soon as we started to talk about crime and the increase of crime, and the government in one way or another indicated that we need social participation, we need community participation, we need cabinet participation, we need all this participation. And in the midst of doing those particular things, the only thing that we've seen an increase on after we've been talking about it last year ad nauseum is an increase in immigration. And what's this? Well, what's this? It's very peculiar. We've seen the Minister of Foreign Affairs take on this kind of posture. I want to read this for you. I just want to read this. I see a telephone call. Don't fight me. I'm coming to you right now. I can read this thing for you right here. So let me see if I can do this for you. Now, pushing back against the reports warning travelers to avoid the Bahamas because of rising murders, Prime Minister Philip Brave Davis said yesterday the tourists have nothing to fear when visiting the country. The Bahamas is a safe place to come. Continue to come. They will be safe while they are here. The Bahamas is what it is. The Bahamas is what it is. It's very peculiar that he would, anyway. So let's read further. So it says, Davis was asked to respond to a U.S. Embassy Nassau security alert, and it finds on D5, security alert warning the U.S. travelers and an increase in murders in New Providence. Travel alert are subjective to the country that has issued them. We issue travel alerts as well, warning our citizens about countries where we feel that could be a risk. The advisories preliminary are just to be careful about your surroundings. Now, it's unfortunate that sometimes these messages, the way that they are concocted, send shockwaves among the citizens. But they need not to worry about those because nothing has impacted the country. I'm indifferent about this posture that the Prime Minister has taken. I think his responsibility is to be able to ensure that there isn't a social tizzy. I think his responsibility is not to be able to, you know, in the midst of knowing that there may be a proverbial fire alarm somewhere in the back of the building, as the convention hall may be stuffed with 15,000 persons, no one's going to run on the stage and say, oh my God, fire, fire. And then 15 people die at the door. That's the responsibility of leadership, is to be able to ensure that they approach this with calm. That's the responsibility of leadership. Leadership should approach this with calm. There's hypothetically 15,000 people in a convention hall that has about 15 exits. And if you jump up on the stage and say, fire, fire, you can lead to a significant amount of deaths. And it may be a false alarm. So I cannot fight the prime minister for taking this sort of a posture to indicate that all is well. However, for those of us who've already smelt the smoke, the inhalation of smoke, and recognize, based upon the historic telling of our grandmothers and forefathers, that the fire ain't far from the smoke, from the internal standpoint, we stand with bated breath, waiting for the prime minister to give us substantive information about a course of action that's going to be taken for us internally. We understand our guests and making sure that everything is taken care of, but we can smell the fire. And the fear of being burnt continues to be able to rise in our subconscious. This is where we are as a country. When there was an increase in crime in Haiti, there was a significant position taken by Foreign Affairs, taken by the government of the Bahamas, to be the one, get everyone out who's there, and two, lend a very clear warning not to go to Haiti right now. Haitian officials, both locally and internationally, took on a position and say, nah, man, that ain't so. Ain't no crime in Haiti like that. It's only in these concentrated areas. This is where the gang turf is. This is where the war is. This is where, listen, man, I don't know that. I've never been to Haiti before. All I know is don't go. That's it. That's it. There is nothing that our prime minister can do or say, rather. There is nothing that our prime minister can say as it relates to being able to give some sense of alleviation, my God, to those persons, 350 some million of them, that have just received this advisory from the U.S. Embassy about an elevated position of crime on the ground here in the country, more specifically in Nassau. There's nothing you can say to them to appease their position after those persons who they entrusted says to them, watch yourself. The only thing that can happen now is for us to do, for us to make significant transformation socially and on the ground, for us to be able to ensure that we could accommodate those persons accordingly. Someone made a joke the other day, the safest road in the Bahamas is West Bay Street right there when you go downtown. I don't know whether or not we're still lingering within the traditions of the Westminster system, being able to ensure that all of our officers are looking great as it relates to taking pictures with those guests and whatnot. I like that. I like that view also. But real application of work needs to be done. Whether that's on Carmichael Road, whether that's within the confines of the ghettos and so forth and so on, real work needs to be done. No one out here trying to take pictures with police. We need to have a very clear conversation. The lines are wide open, guys. Be a part of the conversation. The lines are open. Call on the line when there's live. Go ahead.
Yeah, good afternoon, Mr. Howard Grant.
Hey, good afternoon, my brother. What's happening?
Yeah, I need an artificial intelligence voice to voice my opinion freely without being victimized.
I ain't gonna fight you.
The thing is, I've heard a lot of conversations over the past week about crime and a lot of foolish, like non-clairvoyant concepts, right? Like there was a brother, you know, it's so ridiculous sometimes. They're not looking at this from a criminal perspective. So I don't know who's criminal-minded. I wouldn't implicate myself, but you know, Howard, everybody has a history. I like for that to remain a mystery, right?
Okay.
Now, I'll tell you this, Howard.
Okay.
We must deal with this chronologically and look at the whole situation. Now, the Caribbean is caught between a rock and a hard place,
mm-hmm.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Now, most of us are naive, haven't been following the global agendas. This is a construct, a human construct. We see in America they have open borders. The people are accusing Joe Biden of not closing the borders and doing this and that. Mm-hmm. So we see the same thing here all over the world. Creating this these local crises by the migration of migrants, right?
Mm-hmm.
We know that the strain it puts on the local economy. Now, nobody talked about the investigative journalism that I saw Jones Production put out put out about the Haitian gangs here in the Bahamas, right?
Mm-hmm.
When me and other people have been saying it as from post-earthquake, it's just common facts. These are just logical thinking that some of them would come here up. You see people throwing tie on them and burning up on another, et cetera, et cetera. Right? You want to talk about Haiti. I have a Haitian friend, right? And I share this here. I wouldn't call his name, but he has a child was born over there. And it was an Haitian lady. It was a remote village, I guess, somewhere. And his wife would use the child for his mother to send things to them, and clothes and everything. So the family was kind of impoverished, so they cherished that. So when he wanted to take his daughter back, bring him back here in the States, they attacked him and beat him, almost killed him. His mom told me this. And so what happened was, this is what's going on down there. So he actually managed, he told me that he went there late one night on a motorcycle or whatever, and he ride about 10 miles away, 10 hours ride up into the city, I guess on the peninsula, on the southern end of Haiti, you know. But I think he's from La Torte or something like that, an island off. Yeah, but the thing is, he went through a lot of violence, and the people, because his parents was sending him money, he's able to afford a car and clothes and apartments. The people were really watching him, and so this is what's going on over there. I don't know too much about the city, but he's talking about the outskirts. And so this is what they're doing to one another. And so the fact that you, I thought we was quite naive in accepting Haitians unabatedly. The government hasn't passed laws to stop them from changing their names. And they're coming here. We see the young men in droves, but we turn a blind eye. And then, but we are our own worst enemy. So as a matter of fact, I know a lot of these people. Some of them, so it doesn't matter to me if they're here or not. But for those who sit up in the ivory towers, they're lost. I'm not in fear. And so because we are a nation of weak hearts, we always look at it that way. And so, but I see the bit, Antoine, these people really don't know. All governments are responsible for this hour. Okay? Lack of enforcement equals endorsement. I'm not going to be pacified by photographic psyops about immigration or whatever. They just need to get the job done. Now, this information came through Jones Communication, and it was in some liaison with this charge data fair or some Haiti, someone.
I think I received that information. I didn't go through it, but I did receive the information, yes.
Yeah, but Howard, I didn't need the embassy to tell me that.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I'm saying. That's why we are naive. The people come on the Reddit, talking about xenophobic. I told you it was a bunch of BS.
Mm-hmm.
All right? So everything is being done incrementally. And so when we see the situation with Keith Bell at immigration, we see where the whistleblower was blown away. I look at this whole chronology. Even we see where all of these big shipments of drugs, you don't hear about these cases being adjudicated, nobody fine, nobody go to jail, but you'd be a behemoth. So I'm looking at things realistically versus what I'm hearing over the airwaves and the euphemism and et cetera, et cetera. But this immigration crisis and the schisms and tension, contention between Haitian behemoths and all, not just basically all over the world is by design. So here it is now, America, you up in Britain, they created this problem, and now they want the third world sub-region to solve this problem. And so we saw where it was one of the Ugandan government refused to send their troops because the country that they're going to did not request it. So then this is a false sort of imperialism. There was a guy calling Dwight the morning talking about the imperialism of the United Nations, and Dwight kind of understand how the UN works, but I don't think he fully understands how the UN works because certain countries are permanent fixtures and one of the organs of the UN. So I don't need to get into it. But what I'm saying is it's a monopoly. And even as the precursor with the League of Nations, Arab nations and other third world nations know that their sovereign will be infringed upon. So it's the mechanisms of the United Nations that makes it dictatorial. So it doesn't have to be that they, you know what I mean, Howard.
I understand what you say.
Ever since Howard, they can dictate the country through getting members to sign on,
yes.
Signatories.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? This is the mechanism that they use, the WHO, all these things. And we have to understand why these things are implemented. Even the Council on Foreign Relations, you know, how could you know what's going on in the world, Mr. Grant, if you're not in tune to the global agendas from way back then to
mm-hmm.
now?
Mm-hmm.
Why would you expect for me to believe and you could deceive me, even from the climate change to everything go back our ignorance will kill us because we know what was going on? Not what's going on. I'm telling you. This is a construct. It is designed to be that way. And unless the third world, they can't even rise up no more because the footstool on them so hard now. It's no go now. You may hear Lisa Mosley making a little shout over there. My boy saying something over here. But if there's no fusion, you'll only have confusion. And
we
can't solve the problem. It's the same thing with crime. It's like I have a tree growing in the fence. I've been cutting it, but I didn't pull up the root. So the trees just grow every now and then, but I don't want to pull up the fence, so I got to end up killing it eventually. That's how I get rid of the problem. You have to look at the chronology of the problem. Okay, Howard,
I appreciate you.
We have gotten here for a reason. We are here because of a reason. Corruption and everything, all that. Nobody escapes this. How do we get here, Howard? That's the question we should be asking ourselves. We'll be looking up in the sky. How did we get here? You know, we have endangered the lives of behemoths. So, I mean, come on. But they can sit and keep talking. The government's still giving citizenship to people who are beyond 18 years old. They come in here. They don't know who they are. This is being said over there. Everybody's over in Over Howard. What are they doing? Sitting open and praying? Yes, sir.
Thank you for your telephone call. One of the things I wrote down while you was talking is if there's no fusion, it can cause confusion. And I know you always like to hit it with a nice rhythm in those particular spaces, but I want to say this. We talked about the necessity for unity. We talked about this. We talked about whether that's from a micro level or from a macro perspective, there needs to be very clear unification towards an objective. Whether that's from an ethnic standpoint, from an economic standpoint, from, you know, whatever this is, whatever the subdivision is that we want to be able to look at to be able to unite to find our strength as a community. That's the only way we can do it. I often talk to you about this if you remember when Louis Farrakhan was here. His entire objective, the agenda, whilst he stayed here, I was managing, front office manager, at the Malia Hotel when he was here. I think it was still the Sheraton. I think we're transitioning at the point. But he was here for maybe about a few weeks. And the entire objective was to be able to identify the strength in individuals, in the people, to be able to rise up and speak about the necessity for uniting. So he had the same conversation here that he had in Jamaica and Barbuda and all over the Caribbean that he went, to talk about unifying to find its strength. There are some 44 to 46 million people in the Caribbean. A drop in a bucket. A drop in a bucket. I lied. Hold on. Wait. Let me fix this number. I think it's 144. If I stand to be corrected, I have to look back at that number. Right? But it's literally a drop in the bucket in terms of a global contribution that we could make. And so I don't know whether or not leadership within the confines of specific countries have come to the position where they throw their hands up and say, well, what can we do? We have to sign on to this treaty. Well, we can't fight. We can't risk the possibility of bloodshed or being let go. I got a call last night. My God, we can have this conversation tomorrow. The talk about why would the United States of America take on this posture with the Bahamas? And the conspiracy theory started to kind of unravel. I thought it was wild. The conspiracy theories, as a result of why the possibility of why the United States of America would be able to release this warning to its citizens for being able to watch out when you're traveling to the Bahamas, the conspiracy theories were rich. I care not to dive into it because that's really not what we're here for. But as we look at these particular things, we also have to be able to take into account geopolitics. Our prime minister actually started to talk about geopolitics, I think last week or week before. There is a significant level of geopolitics associated with how things are done in this country. Can I say this? Is it okay? Can we talk like this? There's no allegations being levied against any one country or another. But there is no way that we can avert our eyes from identifying the fact that something's going on. And the question I have is, what is going on and why now? There's a lot of things happening out here. And we are in a geographic location that we play a significant part in global growth, sustainability, development, so forth and so on. We are the proverbial gateway. And so it's very important that we not dismiss ourselves from being able to identify ourselves as contributors in this space or another. All right. So I just want to be as decent as possible as I say that, and we can dive deeper into those conversations. I want you to call 323-6232, 325-4316, 325-4259, anywhere from the Family of Islands, 242-300-5720, or you can definitely hit me up at 422-4796, 422-4796. I'm going to take this call, listen to that, and then go to a commercial break. Call on the line with us live. Go ahead. Call on the line with us live. Go ahead. No? Hello? Okay, so let me go to the break. Quick commercial break, ladies and gentlemen, and be right back after this. Foundation.
Foundation. At Wendy's, we are different. We don't just use beef. It's fresh, never frozen. Our burgers are square because we never cut corners. Served hot off the grill with fresh lettuce, tomatoes, onions, and American cheese. We believe in fast food done right. Always serving fresh, never frozen beef. Order a hot, juicy Dave single, double, or triple. Made with fresh, never frozen beef. Now only at Wendy's. Different inside and out.
Foreign Currency brings you the Africa Giant live in concert. Burna Boy. Burna Boy performing live Saturday, February 17th, taking place at Clifford Park. Also performing Rich Homie Quan, 38 Afri, Joe Capone, Zivelli, and more. Spilling Gate 2024. Get tickets now. This one is a must that you're there.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, quality.
Foundation. Foundation. The foundation. The foundation.
And we are back, ladies and gentlemen, 96.9 FM radio. Howard Grant in your company, the foundation right here, live and in full effect on this beautiful Tuesday afternoon, January 30th. Still being able to have this kind of a conversation for growth and development of and lending our contribution. This is really a select committee, right? Can we do that? Is it okay? This is our select committee for being able to identify all those persons listening in, chiming in, who want to be able to take notes about, you know, being able to really strengthen their position in preparation to make moves. Let's do it. Let's talk about this. Lines are wide open if you want to be able to contribute. The current population of the Caribbean is 44,774,764 as of Tuesday, January 30th, 2024, based on the latest UN Nations estimate. The Caribbean population is equivalent to 0.55% of the total world population. Caribbean ranks 3 in Latin America and the Caribbean among the sub-regions ranked by population. And the population density of the Caribbean is 198 per kilometer square. That's 512 people per mile square. And the total area is 225,996 kilometers square, right? So that's what it is. So I was right initially, not 144, but 44. I know it was something 44. But then I started saying, well, the population can't be 144. So I read it up, 44 million. Out of the 44 million people, there is this sort of an idea that we are the good Negroes of life. Can I say this? Is it okay for us to have this conversation? And out of these particular 44 million, us, 400 and some thousand of us, 400 and some thousand of us identified as the good ones. Yeah, it's good. They're good. I don't know whether or not it's our passive nature. I don't know if it's our lackadaisical approach. I don't know if it's our hands off. I don't know if it's the historic avenue and an idea that even when we kind of move towards independence, it was done through negotiation, not necessarily through the fight that we've seen come out of Haiti. I don't know what it is. But we're in this posture now, and the chickens have come home to roost in every subsector of our society, every single one, okay? For all of us, for not being as strong as we need to be in the house, we've seen our houses, the dynamics of our homes have shifted. which led a ripple effect throughout the length and breadth of society. The dynamics of our home itself, the house we live in, shifted. Sometimes I like to quantify these things. Sometimes I like to identify and really be able to put tangibility to this. Because a lot of this is just, it's just sound like, you know, theoretical concepts. Sometimes I like to kind of put the tangibility to it. And from a tangible standpoint, if you contrast the way that you've lived and grew, if you are 40, let's say you're 42 years, we got to say 42, 43, because that's for the 1980s, okay? If you're 42 years and older, if you contrast that to those persons who would have been born in 1999, in early 2000s and 2000s, then if you contrast our lives and our posture and our approach and position to these younger persons, we recognize that maybe we've lost something over the years. Now, is this me saying that we should hold time still? Allow our children to be able to grow up with this kind of this oblivious state and not know exactly what exists externally? That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is that despite the distractions, because that's far and wide, that's really what this is, despite the distractions that exist externally, there needs to be conviction in the household to retain certain principles. These are principles that help you develop and contribute to society. We've lost that. We've lost that. Now we're out here talking about how we can be able to deal with crime. Should we hang these people children? When we can go inside the house and sunset? This is the kind of conversations that we're having because of the ripple effect that happened in the home almost 30 years ago. Telephone caller on the line. Go ahead.
Howard, good afternoon.
My brother, what's happening with you?
Boy, radio man, your praise monologue God. Is too long, man.
Don't fight me.
All 8 minutes, man.
Don't fight me. What you say?
Anyway, I ain't gonna fight you.
Praise God.
Hey, listen, a lot of persons, I hope that they listen to what 52 has said, and also during your contributions, what you have said. First and foremost, a lot of Bahamians does not understand that the Bahamas itself does hold a prominence in the geographical, not just the geographical, but the geopolitics of how the world operates.
Yeah.
We tend to operate still from a position of weakness instead of a position of strength.
Yes.
Many of the policies, Bahamians are now so wide awake. They're asking not just this government, but successive governments about all of the policies that the Bahamas has signed on to, all of the treaties that has been signed on to. The average Bahamian does not understand why this country is in the mess that it's in based upon a lot of these treaties, unbeknownst to the Bahamian people, why this country is where it's at today. Mm-hmm. A lot of people look at the United States and Canada and Russia and so on and so forth as superpowers. But the Bahamas is also a superpower to a large extent, even though we may not be a large country in numbers, in terms of people, but the country has strength, and we still operate from a point of weakness. My closing remarks is simply this. You know, there are many Bahamians here who are serious about God and country. We have a lot of persons who are in our borders who do not believe in the Bahamian people or the Bahamas. They are only here for benefits and opportunities. We need now to sift these persons out, especially when we can realize that they are not here doing the Bahamas good in any way, shape, or form, even in terms of its people. We need to get them out of this country. You know, it really behooves a lot of Bahamians to have the world stage bash the Bahamas and the Bahamian people for anything that goes wrong here. But it is not the organic Bahamian, and I'm deliberately using that word because there are many of us whose parents, mother and father, has been born in this country, who means good, who is trying to do the best we can to preserve the image and the reputation of the Bahamas. But we have many persons here who came here, took on our status, have resided here, is not assisting with building the country, but in fact helping to deplete the country. But yet the Bahamas continues to get a negative hit because these persons mean no good to this country. When are we going to close this deed poll? When are we going to close this giving citizenship to people who is not even qualified based upon their constitution to have our citizenship? When are these things going to be closed? These are the concern of the Bahamian people, and it's not coming. It's not going. Is it something that has to be addressed sustainably by our government? It must be taken seriously, and until any persons representing our parliament in this country begins to listen to the Bahamian people and hear our voices, that is the only time this country is once again going to progress forward, upward, onward in unity. Thanks for taking my call today.
Thank you, my brother. I do appreciate you. I find it uniquely, for me, it's peculiar that I think we just kind of throw this kind of a thing around, this concept and idea of organic. Not one of us out here organic, nothing. I out here beige. Talk to me. I'm out here beige, okay? Beige. My father is two shades lighter than Kunta, and I'm beige. I want to be very clear with you. All my children bright. I just want to be decent with you as we talk about this. We yield ourselves to our strength. We have this sort of a national salute and the solitude to our country that we were born in. We do. But even that right there, for me, lends to some of the issues that we're having. Because there are a great deal of persons who are born out of this soil, proverbially, that consider themselves organic, knows no other place, but have been rejected by the system because of who they've been born by or to. This is what we're dealing with. This separation that exists in our society where people feel as though, these people don't care about me. This segregation that we continue to be able to bang on is leading to crime. We're segregating people. We're separating people. We've rejected a segment of our society significantly. One time ago, we here was more us than y'all. And I would say that, and beyond that, and I ain't going to talk too long because I see the lines lit up. But beyond that, why are we only concerned about Haitians? Why? Have you not considered the fact that people from Venezuela are in our country right now? That their country, the trials and tribulations that existed, they caused them to flee their country and look for refuge here. Your lust and desire at being able to look at their skin as it shimmers, the light skin and the waves within their curves has placed you in a position of desire to get them. But they hear of another objective. Many of them, not all, I can't put all in the same bucket. Many an Indian who have never had the luxury of a great deal of things but doubled down on education throughout their life are now here. Accessing parts and segment of our society that you can only imagine. They come from absolute nothing. Grammy would say squalor. And now they're living on the Eastern Road through education. We reject having conversations about the real diversity that exists in our society and concentrate on one thing, our brothers and sisters from the South. It's crazy to me. It's crazy to me. We do ourselves a disservice. We do ourselves a disservice by not understanding that your economic pie is you being pushed out of that. And you end up with the crumbs. You don't even get a slice no more. You end up with the crumbs and you are satisfied because it's being sold to you by these men and women who go in parliament. Let's just shoot straight. No one's fighting for the Bahamian people. No one. We're fighting for Haiti, though. Having a good fight for them. We're going to have a good conversation about that. We're fighting for Haiti. We're fighting to show ourselves humanitarians and strong and people getting blown away on our street every day. Let's talk decent, man. I tell you, there's two things that are triggers in our society. Crime and immigration matters, illegal immigration. We teeter between the two. I think we're bigger than that. Next telephone call. Call on the line. Go ahead.
Pleasant. Good afternoon.
What's up, Anton?
What's going on?
All is well.
Sound like you're in a narrative setting mode today.
No, man. Go ahead. I ain't trying to set no narrative. Be of yourself.
But you're riding on the wrong horse. I call to fight you.
I ride on the wrong horse? I'm telling me here. You go ahead. Talk to me.
All right. Look, let's start where you ended off with this particular topic of narrative setting. You were speaking about the statement from the U.S. Embassy,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
I believe that that's being misconstrued again across many different segments in various discussions regarding the crimes or the murder spike that we're experiencing right now
mm-hmm.
in our country. The reason why I say that is, do you recall DeSantis as our ambassador, Rick Fox, refers to him as a little rocket? Do you recall the statement that he made against the Bahamas?
When he said that there's a rocket?
When he's saying that they would launch a missile from the...
And wipe us out?
From Florida and flatten the Bahamas, etc.
Mm-hmm.
You recall him saying
yes,
that?
Yes, I do.
Okay. Do you recall that the U.S. Embassy in the Bahamas came back and totally renounced what he is saying? And distance themselves completely
mm-hmm.
from what he said?
And then he doubled down.
But do you recall that?
Yes, and then he doubled down, yeah.
Okay, fine. And the U.S. Embassy did the very same recently, as a matter of fact, this week, and it was played on Guardian Radio, regarding the misleading and false statements that was coming out of the United States from their U.S. media giants, media and TV giants. They've completely distanced themselves, and they explained, as a matter of fact, I think it was the charge the affairs, who went on and explained the purpose for them releasing the statement that they released, which he explained that it's a regular part of what they have always been doing, right, to advise their citizens when traveling to the Bahamas
mm-hmm.
and other countries
mm-hmm.
across the world.
Mm-hmm.
It's a regular part. It's not an attempt to launch any kind of attack.
Mm-hmm.
It's not an attempt to state that the Davis administration is doing a poor job in fighting crime.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a normal standard practice
mm-hmm.
that they execute. She also went on to explain that in no way, shape, or form, not quoting her, but just paraphrasing pretty much, is that statement that she released in any way equal to the false information that was being released by those giant U.S. media and television companies and corporations in the U.S. And so on that backdrop, Howard, we have to be careful not to take misleading information coming out of the U.S., not from the U.S. government, not from the federal government, not from any official of the United States government who has the responsibility to advise their citizens, like we do, to advise our citizens. We must be careful not to allow misleading information coming out of the U.S. by media companies who are fighting for headlines to cause us to rile up our own selves and get into historical conversations as it relates to crime in our country. Because the fact of the matter is, yes, we do have a murder spike going on right now in the country, Howard.
Mm-hmm.
However, when you examine the numbers, when you examine the facts of who was murdered, not one U.S. citizen or one tourist coming into the Bahamas, has been any part of any of those statistics relating to murder in our country,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
And that is something that is very serious and that we ought to pay close attention to. Yes, we do have a crime challenge.
This is where cooler heads prevail, right?
Right.
Your analysis, right, mm-hmm. with the information that you've been able to garner and
right.
contribute to this is where cooler heads and educated people could be able to eat on that. This is good stuff.
Right.
This is substantive information. However,
right.
we are fighting with the perception and the conditioning of a mind, especially in this dispensation and generation. These are our tourism bucks that we're having a conversation
right.
about,
right?
And
that's where I was going to go to next, Howard.
Okay.
You know, because at the end of the day, tourism right now and certainly for the foreseeable future will continue to be the golden goose that lays the biggest golden egg in our, or eggs in our country, across our entire country. And we have to be very careful to protect tourism. Despite what may be going on domestically, we must be very careful as to how we allow those who may have political ambitions to form government, to drive false narratives or misleading narratives. We must be careful to guard against those outside of the country who are simply looking for headlines to drive the conversation and the realities that we face on the ground.
But the long story, but Anton, you can't stop people from whether they are mischievous by in nature or whether they even give false information. The only the autonomy that you have within the sovereignty of a nation is that you get to be able to make these particular decisions. You ain't got to be able to defend what people say, but you could shift course to be able to transform even the perception of what's happening in your community. The prime minister don't have to talk about this. He could just be able to legislate, pull these things together, and execute so we can see a shift in our society. Talk to me.
A little bit more than that, though, Howard, a little bit more than that. Similar to the fight on crime, where it's going to take all Bahamian citizens and residents and persons residing in the country to assist the governor of the Bahamas, to assist the commissioner of the Bahamas and his Royal Bahamas police force and the Commodore and his defense force teams. It's going to take the people of the country again, guarding against false and misinformation from misguided sources outside of our country. However, it's going to take all of us fighting against that witchcraft. And it is witchcraft.
I accept what you said.
Including yourself, because you have a very important platform. Now, next thing, Howard, before I go, I saw... Can you hear me clearly?
You gotta go. I got more. You need to stop
just,
that, dog.
Just 30 seconds.
Go ahead. I'm not gonna fight you. Go ahead.
Look here, I saw former Prime Minister Hubert Minnis, right? A couple of days ago, last week sometime, right? And he told me that he was coming on your show.
I tell you, he's coming on the show Monday. He can be here Monday.
I was just about to tell you. He told me, now, Anton, I'm going to go on Bodie's show on Thursday, and I'm coming on Howard's show. As a matter of fact, me and him had the discussion because he told me he had some clashes with some key persons there, right? But he would like to come. I tell him, well, you know, Howard's show is a very solid and a sound show, and you want to give him a try. You want to give it a try.
Oh, you try to blow for me. I appreciate you.
Yes, man. I'm trying to make blows to you. Big blows for you. And he told me, okay. He said, I'm going to come on Howard's show.
He coming on Monday.
On Monday.
Yeah, he coming on Monday.
He did confirm with you.
Yes, he confirmed with me. I saw him on church on Sunday. He came to church on Sunday.
I was supposed to crack that joke with you on Monday, but I forgot. Anyway, go ahead, Howard. Continue the good work and take care, my brother.
Thank you, my brother. I do appreciate you. Next caller on the line. Go ahead. Go ahead, caller. Guys, sorry, by the way, like that Anton and I got into it. Let me see if I can read a couple of these texts. Somebody say, Minnis need to stay home. Y'all need to stop with the indecency. It says, good afternoon, Howard. I don't think everyone feels the same way about Haitians. My thing is our government needs to legislate where they cannot vote in our election because we as a people will regret it in years to come. The issue that we have in this country is the lack of succession plan. That's it. The issue that we have, and I want to be as decent as possible when I say lack of succession plan, what I mean that is lack of vision. There isn't a overarching objective and vision for us as a nation. The initial vision coming out of 64, 63 was independence. And everyone kind of gathered around that concept and fought for independence. After that, everyone was scattered to and fro into their own lands, right? And finding their own way. God for us all, every man for himself and God for us all, right? Since then, as a result of 1992, with the perception of the former administration or the initial administration, which was the PLP, being able to take on this sort of a position where people feel like they kind of weaned, they strayed away from some of their constitutional positions that they've indicated that they want to move towards for the country, people moved away. So the next mission became, let's get the PLP out. 1992 brought that about. And in, since then, 2002, 22 years later, to 2024, right now, we have not identified collectively as a community, as a people, one vision for us to be able to move towards. Nothing. There's nothing. The only thing that we've had most recently was, one, COVID-19. We collectively understood, despite the hell that we put the former prime minister through, we understood that this was serious and we need to be able to secure ourselves. That's one. Since then, we have not had a vision. So as you talk about these things and talk about whether or not, you know, we're gonna regret it in years to come, I doubt that. Without a vision, you will perish. That's it. But you don't even know that you perish it because you never had a vision. You have no reason to kind of hold on to the edge of this thing and call for Rose as you drift off into the deep depths of the cold. You have not, because you have no vision. You have no desire to stay alive. No one cast a vision for us. And this is where we are. Somebody texts and says, ministers failed as a prime minister. Y'all need to stop. So it says, where does Anton live? 19 murders. This is regular. As the text is coming through. So let's see if we can read the next one. It says, the good day. And if the Bahamians are not prepared to fight for their own Bahamaland, then they don't deserve to have it. Bring poor. Being poor don't mean you must kill and rob people. There's a text is coming through. Great show, Howard. As usual, I can't believe you ain't sacrifice economics for Grammy. Right? No, I love Grammy there, but... But I got children. I got a Grammy. Grammy helped me so much. Like, that was heavy. Right? So it says, Howard, America set up all right up via the UN and human rights group. They tell you all and let the Haitians be humane now that they're quick to give travel advisory to US problem. These dummies lack the kahunas and vision. This is a text that's coming through. Right, so it says, Howard, I would tell you move 52 to the head of the class, but that brother needs to skip several grade levels. He's spot on. There's a text that's coming through. It says, "What? With all respect, sir, you now become a part of the rhetoric and the politics that have been spewing for decades. There have been numerous studies done regarding crime. Only one process is proven to eliminate it. Prove quality public education for youth. Provide an opportunity for the education to be utilized to earn a respectable wage. The government cannot place a value of $250 a week on the citizens of the Bahamas and expect the citizens to place a higher value upon themselves. When your neighbor is educated and successful as you are, there is no reason to prey on them." That's a text is coming through. Except that I'm not going to fight you. It says, ain't that something? The incompetent authorities say that it's safe to tourists and guests to be citizens. But citizens living here in the urban war zone. There's a text that's coming through. Right? That's the text, guys. That's the show today. Let me see if I can read a couple more. As well, it's okay for Bahamians to be challenged by crime, but the tourists need not worry because the criminals won't go after them. This is a text that says coming through. Guys, I want to thank you so very kindly for being able to contribute to us today. Tomorrow, we're going to have a great conversation with the panel converse. We're going to have like some panel guests coming in to talk about it a little bit more about where we are. Let's get into the geopolitics. Let's get into the socioeconomic politics of it. Let's get into what really matters here. The only thing that we can actually shake is the posture and position of their actual occupation. Let's talk about it. Tomorrow, we're going to be right here, live and in full effect, 96.9 FM Radio, The Foundation with Howard Grant. Guys, have a beautiful day. Until tomorrow.
The Foundation.
Creativity is in my blood. From shoes to handbags, fashion lets me express myself and embody Bahamian culture. My name is Aiden Barrow, and I am the creative director of House of Assembly. Alive's Liberty Prime Plan allows me to focus on my passion and stay connected, whether at home or abroad. Once I've created something new, I can post to social media from anywhere and get instant feedback. Alive has a plan for everyone, and it's created with you in mind. Alive, believe in best.
Struggling to repay your loan?
Let us help you get back on track with payment terms that suits your financial situation and improve your credit score and credit report with the Bahamas Credit Bureau. Inquire about our restructured loans today. Call us at 356-7764.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day. This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.